Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are just ecstatic that we have another opportunity to come before you here on the PRF table tonight, October the 12th, 2017. We are continuing on with our month-long series. It is entitled Insurance or God's Assurance, and we are so happy to be joined with another one of the hosts of this show. Her name is Mary Ann Williams. With Around the Table, we call her Mama. Mama, good evening to you. Matter of fact, I don't know if Mama's on with us tonight, but at least we have Brother Mark with us this evening. Brother Mark, good evening to you.
Let's see.
I'm just trying to get to everybody around the table tonight. Everything going well for you, my brother?
Yes, sir. It is.
Good deal. Good deal. Good deal. Well, listen, and for those of us who, or those of you who are listening who don't quite know how we do it here at the PR table, we're just having those challenging conversations. We're having those conversations regarding possessions, resources, and finances in one shape or the other. We let people know that this is just an opportunity that God has afforded to us here at the PRF Teaching Ministry to be able to have the type of conversation that you may not have in church. The type of conversations you may not have inside of your family structures. You may not talk about them around the dinner table or while you're sitting on your couch eating dinner, playing on your cell phones. So we ask that you just set aside some time. Again, we meet every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so that you can have these type of conversations. And so we are so ecstatic to have with us a brother by the name of Nelson Baldwin. Nelson Baldwin from Alpharetta, Georgia. I guess I had to say Alpharetta, Georgia. How are you doing this evening, my brother?
Man, I'm doing excellent this morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you. We can hear you. Somebody's trying to have some technical difficulties. I would tell you, if you're having technical difficulties, just call back in. That's all you got to do. Just call back in, 347-215-7934. So listen, as everybody may not know, we have a whole slew of guests that's going to be with us for the whole month of September. And so we got Brother Baldwin with us, and I'll just kick it off. We were talking on Saturday, he and I. We met on Saturday, and we were just having some conversation, and y'all are going to be in for a treat tonight because the topic, again, for this month is insurance or God's assurance. And Brother Baldwin, Nelson, listen, I try to tell people, don't come expecting the norm here at the PRF table. And so we're going to try to recreate a little bit about some of that stimulating conversation that we had. But if before we even get into that, if you would just be so kind just to greet our listeners and just to tell them a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to tell about yourself and your business and what you do so they can know that we don't have just some old jackleg here on the PRF table, but we got somebody that knows what they're talking about. Amen?
Amen, man. Well, hey, I'm happy to be here, part of the PRF family. I respect Dr. Dunlap tremendously, and so it's an honor to be asked to be on the show and just to help push his vision. But a little bit about me, I'm former military. I'm originally from Rochester, New York, which is upstate. And how I got to the South was through the Army. I loved the weather so much, man. I stayed. I was like, this is awesome. So, so I did a little stint. Yeah, man, I did a little stint in the military and then, I hurt my back and got out on a medical discharge. And, you know, a great friend of mine, before even that, I met my wife, my lovely wife, Miss Leslie mm-hmm. Baldwin. Got to give a shout out to her. Her birthday is coming
trouble.
Up.
Don't so, get in trouble.
So I'm in birthday planning mode. Hopefully she's not listening right now. But anyway, I met her, and she literally changed my world, got me excited about life again. And we both met some great people who introduced us to the financial services industry. So back in 2013, I started a company, a firm, with a company called World Financial Group, and it allowed me to open up my own office in Columbus, Georgia, with some great people. We still have that office up and running, but it's some great people that I met that we've trained and have come with some experience already. So we're excited about what's happening in Columbus. But then recently, my wife and I made a decision to move to Alpharetta. Two reasons. Number one, she wanted to get out of Columbus, which, you know, it is what it is. But
right.
we want a little bit more mentorship from the leaders, the top executives in our business. So in order for us to take it to the next level, we felt like we needed to be around these guys who are multimillionaires. But in their own right, they've 25 years. So it's not just the money that we're chasing. It's the families that we've helped along the way. And my job is to help connect the and branch our footprint from Columbus to Atlanta, but then from Atlanta to the rest of the country. So that's what I'm excited about.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So listen, family, PRF radio listeners, we want you to just know you just heard from this brother, and you should already know that he is another one of those individuals who, being connected to us and we to him, are going to give you some very good nuggets tonight. And so as we continue in this season of you, the listeners, being prepared and how we address these challenges and these pitfalls and these proactive measures and actually some the truth about being covered in so many different ways. When you do that, I need everybody to understand that your name will be great. It will bring glory to God when you have your affairs in order. See, and Brother Nelson, there's some folk that when they pass away, we just gonna throw the strike right now. We ain't got time for it. You know, Jesus may crack open the sky in the next 15 minutes. We don't want to be trying to, you know, it ain't going to be like at church while you waiting for the, you know, the hoop and the hollering at the end of the sermon. You better catch it now because you don't know.
That's right.
The ones who have their affairs in order, I believe so strong in my heart that God will label them as those who were prepared. It's amazing that when we were in talking about the 10 virgins from out of the book of Matthew, and when Jesus gave us that story about five, all 10 of them had oil, but five of them had oil, and five of them just had enough oil, right? So it wasn't that they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared to the place where they need to be. And so what we want to do is try to push the envelope a little bit tonight and every other night that we have this show to telling people, look, you got to go a little bit farther than where you are. I've kind of pushed away a little bit from everybody just believing or hearing that they're just not doing anything, like they're not doing anything right. No, but we just need you to do better because there's too many people that are sitting out here uncovered or not covered to the place where they need to be. So one of the things I would like for you to just tell us a little bit more about your passion for being in this insurance space and some of the things that you're seeing of why you know that this is an important topic for us to be talking about right now.
Well, absolutely. The number one reason why this conversation has to be had is because we have too many people that's not, I'll use the word, protected. And as you know, we did my wife spearheaded a campaign called Challenge 57. And what that means is 57%, and this is on a national level, state level, and even at our local level in Columbus, because we did the numbers, 57% of people are not covered. They don't have enough or they don't have any, and it's an epidemic because when people are not covered, their immediate family is not the only people that's impacted. And right. When you see all these GoFundMe accounts go up and or people passing the plate at church or cooking more chicken dinners or cooking cakes or whatever they do to try to raise money, I mean, God bless them. They have to do what they have to do, but it could have been prevented. So my passion is to really educate people on how they can protect themselves, how they can protect their families, how they can protect their income and their assets. It's bigger than just just what we hear on the surface. And if I may, the Dunlap, I credit it really to the lack of thinking, the programming that we've been subjected to. We've been fed a bunch of stuff that's not healthy, and we run with stuff like that, and I don't know why. So I'm trying to change that paradigm where people will think that, if I can protect myself, if I can protect my family, if I can no longer provide, what's going to happen to my family? You get people thinking about that. But I will tell you this, if they have the old mindset and the old paradigm playing in their mind, then it's nothing you can tell people until you change that paradigm.
And so when we talk about changing the paradigm, changing the way that people are thinking, way they're acting, their place of being, then the language that I use is transformation. And so one of the greatest things that we can do is say, okay, what does Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say? And what does that talk about? It talks about us transforming our mind. Well, that means we have to think about some things differently than the way we used to think about them. See, if all that people have is grandmama, and grandmama is still paying $20 a month or $7 a month or $15 a month for that $500 policy that was really valid back in the 1950s. But they done paid for that policy five times over.
Yeah.
But you can't tell grandmama that you need more than that. No, because 30 years ago, somebody came to grandmama's house and sold them that policy. And they felt like they were valued. So it's not about, and I learned this in a meeting, or I spoke about this in a meeting last night I was in, a community meeting. When you talk about taking something away from somebody or offering them something different, you have to be willing to plug that in with something. And so if we're telling people that, look, there needs to be a paradigm shift in how you're thinking, then the question becomes, what is it that I'm going to replace? And for me, I think about it like this also. Am I going to be with you long enough to help you through this process of transformation?
Exactly.
See, and I say that because a lot of times those of you who are in your space, you, Sister Vera Moody, Saeed will be with us next week, and Zanetta Shepherd, who will be with us on the 26th, sometimes a lot of people have in their mindsets not so many positive things about the person who's selling insurance. So what is something or some things that you can think of that we can do to try to help people to think differently about the one who is selling it? Because, we can get onto another discussion about, folk don't challenge other folks, especially other folks, and whatever other is, whether it's race, whether it's economic class, They don't challenge other folks in a lot of other different things. But in something that is important as this, they want to challenge it. It baffles my mind. But how can you respond to that, brother?
Again, it's the way people think. I will say this, and I've shared this with you. You know, I've been doing a study on the mind, and as I share with you, only 2% of people think, and 3% of people think that they think, and 95% of people don't think at all. And I say that, and people look at me funny, but when you really think about it, no pun intended, it is true, because you didn't think about, if you were driving home, you didn't think about, I got to press the brake at this point, and I got to press the gas at that point, I got to change the steering lane. You don't think about that. You just do it. So a lot of people's lives are being played out and lived out of their subconscious mind. And of course, the subconscious mind, you don't have to even think about doing what you're doing. You just do it. If those beliefs, all insurance salesmen are crooks, and, you know, all people wanted your money, all pastors wanted your money, and all, if that's deeply rooted in your subconscious, it's going to take quite a while to get that out. Well, I'm studying a way to get that out faster, but it's going to take some time to get that out. So what we have to do is understand that a lot of people aren't thinking. They're taking what other people are saying as gospel. They're taking what's on television as gospel, and they're not thinking for themselves. Facebook, oh my gosh, yes. Or internet, period. I had a person tell me, well, that sounded good, but I think I'm going to do some research. I'm going to Google it. And I said, so you believe everything that's on Google? And they said, well, I mean, you know, it's some pretty good stuff on Google. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you think Barack Obama was a pretty good man? I mean, regardless of your views of his presidency, do you think he was a good man? And they said, yeah. I said, well, let's Google Barack Obama. And you'd be surprised what came up on Google, right? And so, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're going to do some research, you need to pay for it. That's when you're going to get some good research. But anyway, my whole response to people that are thinking in a certain way, you're right, we have to replace it with something, because if you don't, then people think the same way. They think you're trying to do something out of the ordinary or you know, just be shady. And what I tell people all the time is, let's replace it with the truth. Because make no mistake, I was talking with a gentleman today about The Matrix, and he said The Matrix is not a movie, it's a documentary. And I laughed at that because when Morpheus offered the red and blue pill, he said, the only thing I'm offering is the truth. So when we tell people that, you know, we're going to help you change your thought process or change the paradigm, we have to replace it with the truth. And then people, of course, the next question is, well, what is the truth and all that?
Truth
kind of
is relative, right? And all that, yeah.
No, truth ain't relative. I mean, truth is truth.
But that's what people say, right? People say truth is relative. Man, it depends on who you ask and all this other stuff.
Right. Depends on which relative you ask, right?
Right.
But here's the thing, and you're gonna make me go there, and I love it. I'm passionate about it. we've never seen the mind. You know, there's no picture of the mind anywhere. I mean, you go to a doctor's office and they say point to the picture of the mind. Most people point to the brain, which is not your mind.
Right.
But you live your life out of your heart or out of your mind. Some people call it the heart. Some people call it the mind. But nobody's seen a picture of it. So recently I've had a gentleman that I've been studying. He drew a picture of the mind. He drew a circle. If you can imagine a circle, And then imagine a line going straight through the circle horizontally, splitting it in two, and that top half is your conscious mind. That bottom half is your subconscious mind. And there's a power that we, that some people call God, some people call Muhammad and Confucius or whatever people call him, right? I call him God. But there's a power that works through us and around us. And the problem is, and this is what I challenge church folks with, a lot of church folks will they'll shout, they'll run around, they'll sing, but really nobody understands how the power works. And you get introduced information through your conscious mind, that top half of that circle. And then in that top half is where your reasoning is, your intellect. That's where you do most of your learning. The conscious mind has the ability to choose. So you will make a choice whether to accept or reject an idea, information, things of that nature. So when information comes in, like you need life insurance, most people reject that because they haven't put the thought process into it. They just take what someone else has said, and like I said, 95% of people don't think. So there's a picture when you get to the picture of the mind, and that bottom half is what you live most of your life through. That's your subconscious. And I know, you know, people will, you know, say certain things about it or whatever, but that's the mechanism which controls your habits. And everyone lives their lives out of their habits. So that's why it takes a long time to change a bad habit, because you're so ingrained in it that your body acts out what your subconscious mind tells it to do. And the only way that you're going to change it is to repetitively take that information out of your conscious mind and stick it into your subconscious mind. And so I say that to people, and they look at me funny, and I say, listen, if you can't change the way you think, then what are you doing? I mean, think about this. If you can't change it, so that's why people live a lot of their lives blaming other people, making excuses, because I look at it like this. If I have to blame you for me not succeeding or my family not being protected, then I have to go to you to get myself out of it. You know what I mean? If I gave you the power, then I can't do it for myself. I blamed you. So now you have to set me free, not the truth. And how many people are just not equipped to do that? You know, it's funny. The guy that I'm studying said, you know, if you blame everyone else for your problems, then you got to pay for everyone else to go to a psychologist to cure yourself. And I laughed at that because I'm like, nobody's going to do that.
Right.
I mean, we don't take personal responsibility anymore. So I took it as a personal responsibility to protect my family. That's my responsibility. You know, and last I read, you know, we're supposed, if you're a good man or a good woman, you're supposed to leave an inheritance for your children's children. I mean, last time I checked, that wasn't a request. Exactly. It wasn't a request. If you're a good person, you're supposed to do that. So, and I know because I'm in this industry, the fastest way and the best way and the most profitable way for you to pass wealth from one generation to the next is through life insurance. And people keep saying, well, how does the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? They ingrain in their children, hey, you need this life insurance. You need to get this policy, right? You need to do these investments. As a matter of fact, I know a guy, his 10-year-old and 13-year-old children was meeting with their financial advisor at 10 and 13 because they ingrained that stuff into them. This is important for your family legacy. And so we have to get that mindset. We have to get legacy-minded and not tomorrow-minded or right-now-minded. A lot of people are right-now-minded. So I don't know, man. I'm Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I went on a rant. I get passionate about it. Man, I'm telling you.
Listen, this is exactly why, for all of you who are listening, why God leads me to the people to be on the PRF table. Now, if you were on with us last week with Sister Vera Moody, what you just said about life insurance is the most profitable way to pass on wealth to our families is almost exactly what Sister Vera Moody said last week. You just talked about legacy. Talked about legacy last week. And so you can't take now, and you also just mentioned Proverbs 13:22 for those who are looking in the Bible right now saying, what was he talking about? Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, y'all know, those of you who have been around PRF and me long enough, you know that that is one of the foundational scriptures that we use in our Will You or Will You Not course. And you also, if you purchase the book, Don't Leave Me Like This, you probably have read those same words in that book more than one time. Vernell, it's funny. Somebody from Philly called me. My godmother called me a couple of days ago, and she said it seemed like every other line. It was something about get your affairs in order. Get your affairs in order. She was like, I got it. Now that's not how the book reads, but we're driving home those points. Because if you don't hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, then it's not challenging you. It's not doing anything if we just say it one time and leave it, if we hit it and quit it. You know, we have to be consistent with these type of things. And you think about the church scene, right? The church scene is, and I could say this is in several denominations and probably some that are non-denominational, but there's a lot of people within the Christian community that go to church to hear one thing every single Sunday. What they go to church to hear, that one thing every single Sunday, is that Jesus was born, that he died, that he was raised with all power in his hand. Now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. He laughing, y'all laughing too. Y'all know that's the thing. In regardless of what comes before, their minds have been conditioned through tradition and through religiosity that's what they got to have. When I hear coming out of other pastors and ministers' mouth that if you don't do that, then you ain't preached, that means they're conditioning the people in a certain way, and those are the same people that become your preachers and your pastors, your ministers and your chaplains and everything else. So I appreciate you didn't ramble to me. Everybody know we're open on the PRF table. But Romans 12:1-2. Another scripture that came to mind was Philippians 2, right? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, right? I mean, now that's not even the whole verse. That's verse 5, but that's not the whole thought, right? Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal God, but making himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. But that first part, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so for you to start talking about the mind lets us know that we are in the right space tonight. So listen, for those of y'all who are listening and you want to jump into this conversation, press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the conversation. I want to throw something else out there to focus more on the mind. Because, see, a lot of times people, when they think about insurance and somebody's going to talk about insurance, they're just looking for you to tell them what's whole life, what's permanent life, what's an IUL. You know, they're just looking for those terms. You know, why is it important? How much do I need? How much does it cost? Listen, you can get that from anywhere. We got to talk about something different, because if it was about just bringing those things up, then there would be more than 43% who are covered. Matter of fact, you mentioned the 43%. Sister Vera said 44 last week, if I'm not mistaken. So in the mouths of two or three witnesses, what you waiting on? That's what I'm throwing out there. What you waiting on? How many more witnesses does it need to be? And I said something about being prepared last month when we were dealing with prepare for prosperity or poverty. You think that God is a God of second chances. You think that you're going to have two and three and four chances, but God doesn't give two and three and four chances to everybody in every situation. And I say it pretty clear. I say go to Acts chapter 5. And when you go to Acts chapter 5, when he asked Ananias, did you bring, when Peter asked him, look, did you bring all the money? You came to us with the money. Now, I'm going to just ask you a question. Did you bring it all? And he said, yeah. Now, you lied. Peter said, you lied to me and the Holy Spirit. And boom, he dropped dead. So he ain't get a second chance.
That's right.
So folk got to get that out their mind, that you got a second chance, because there's some people who passed away last night that planned on getting insurance this week. And that's a common situation. That's a common scenario. And so I'm going to expand further on this thing about the mind. When you mention take the top half, that's your conscious, and the bottom half, your unconscious, right? One of the things that I study, which, again, this thing is deep. Excuse me. Our brain, you talked about the mind, right? But our brain is broken down into two hemispheres. So each one of those hemispheres, you got the left brain functions and you got right brain functions. On the right side of all of our brains, if you are one who is inept to right brain functions, then you got left body control. You're probably going to be left-handed. But there's also some other functions that go on within the brain coming from the right hemisphere, such as things like music, being musically inclined, the artsy people, those who have intuition, those who have a lot of imagination. And what I learned was when our kids are so young, those are the things that they get taught. Those are the things that we push and we embrace. We embrace their thinking and their imagination and intuition. And my wife came into the office the other day, and she said, our youngest baby is 21 now. She said, is that poster that Tally did at Vacation Bible School when she was 5 sitting in the corner behind a couple things? I looked back. I was like, yeah, that's it. She shook her head like, oh, my goodness. And, yeah. If you go in the refrigerator, you see something she drew over, she was like 5. We appreciate those type of things, and we celebrate those right brain, right hemisphere functions for people to just be free. But what happens is the older that the when you start getting into first grade, then now there's the educational system, because you talked about prevention and prevention equals education. So y'all just stay with me for a minute. So on the left side of our left hemisphere side of our brain, right, that's when we start dealing with those things that we teach in our children, like number skills and how to write and reading and reasoning and spoken language. And so we move away because of the way our educational system has been created or become in our country, away from the right hemisphere, and now folks don't think for themselves. Some folk can't even imagine right now having $500,000 worth of life insurance. Some folk can't even imagine how great their family will be once they die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much on the left hemisphere functions trying to reason. Well, you know what? You know, I ain't got the money right now. Listen, I asked somebody the other day, and I'm an analytical person. I'm a critical thinker. But I just don't – listen, it's about being spiritually connected with God for me. So I don't allow my critical thinking and my reasoning to mess up my imagination and just believe. How are you going to have faith and don't have no imagination? Faith is evidence of things hoped for. So if you're trying to let this thing be about reasoning, you'll never get there. You won't have faith. You won't be able to see these things that you're presenting to us, that Sister Vera is presenting us, that Z is going to present to us in a couple of weeks, and Saeed. We got to think outside of the box and sometimes just let our minds go a little bit free. And so I'll share this with you. One of the things I started doing this week, thanks to one of the members, Will, who's on our team, who's been talking to me about this for a couple of weeks, I finally started meditating.
Mm.
I finally started to meditate. Now, it ain't a question about my prayer life. I know how to pray. I know how to get a connection with, you know, that connection with our God. But it's been something about meditating. Every morning when I get up, I come into my office, I sit here, I don't put no music on. And it's amazing because Will mentioned this to me before, but he also mentioned it to me this week. But another member of the team, Kimberly, she has her show, Your Health is Your Wealth, she mentioned this, and she said, you know what, if you meditate every day for just 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, before you go to bed and when you wake up, and she broke that thing down. This is on Your Health is Your Wealth. That's why you can't get everything on a PRF table. It's fine. You don't got to. You know, God has different ways of getting across to us. And she said, you drink a glass of water, you meditate, go to bed or wake up, and you do the same thing. She said, you will be surprised how your thoughts will be a lot more clear. So if there's a reason why folks don't want to listen to you, bro, because their mind is cloudy. Because they're here's how you know it's about reasoning with a lot of folks. Because when you tell them what you just told our listeners, and they say, you know what, I can't afford it. So if you can't see yourself affording it, where's your mind?
Exactly. Yeah, I was about to go there, and you went. So I'll piggyback on that. You know, when you talked about the brain, you know, left side, right side, you know, the creator. I'll just call him the creator. Everyone calls him something different, but I know we're all Christian. Well, we should be anyway. we're endowed. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're endowed with creativity. You know, we were made in His image, after His likeness. And, you know, so if image constitute looking like God and likeness constitute acting like God. So, and both of our brains helps us do that. Both sides of our brain helps us do that. The problem is, like you said, as people grow up and they get introduced to information, think about this. When you give the power of your decision to somebody else, it clouds every decision after that. So, for instance, instead of using your intellect and using your creativity and using everything that God has gifted us with, you see your father get sick, and the first thing your mom says is he needs to go to the doctor. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's something that you need to go to the hospital for, great. That's what we got him for. But when it comes to your healing, right, or whether or not you believe you can be healed, that shouldn't be left up to the doctor. Because if the doctor says you're sick and you're not going to get well, in your mind, you've now put that from your right brain to your left brain and said, I'm sick, I'm never going to get better. And if you do it with emotion, if you believe that with all the emotions in your body, it goes right into your subconscious, and you die. And it's been proven. Now you've heard of the the test that they do where they give people like a pill, and you know, two people are sick, they give one the actual pill that's going to help them, the other one they just give them a sugar pill, and they both get well. Right?
Okay.
They call it the
right.
They call it the, I can't think of it right now. But anyway, the person that got well without the medication, how did he get well? He believed and imagined that pill was working for him. And he did it with emotion. It got into the subconscious, and the body only follows what the subconscious tells it to do. So now that person is cured. Well, think about this. Most people don't think about the opposite. What if a doctor says you're terminally ill, you're going to die in a year? And you're perfectly fine. Because I've heard documents where people go into the hospital and somebody's chart got mixed up with somebody else's chart. They were perfectly fine, but then they got told you got a terminal illness, and 6 months later they're gone. How is that when they weren't sick when they walked in? Well, because their mind took over And the body only does what the mind tells it to do. So you're absolutely right when it comes to that left side, right side of the brain. I'll say this. Most people will, when it comes to buying anything, people only do business with people they like, people they know, people they trust, and people they value. So even if I don't know someone like really, really well, you know, the part of my brain that kicks in, and most people call it intuition, some people call it discernment, but there's a certain vibe or vibration that people give off. We're all energy. Whether you want to believe it or not, we're all energy, and there's a certain vibration that we all give off. And when you get into the presence of somebody with negative vibration, you all of a sudden say, well, there's something about that person that just, I don't know. There's just something about that person I don't like, right? And consequently, you get around people that have a positive vibration, and you don't even know what they do, but you want to be around them. So what we've done is we try to build a team of different types of people. It's funny you mentioned, you know, some people will do business with other folks and, mm-hmm. you know, not with their own kind and stuff like that. Well, if you have a team big enough, and I'll be honest, I have some Asian people on my team. I have some Caucasian people on my team. We have some black mm-hmm. folks and some Hispanic folks and stuff like that. So if I'm dealing with someone of the, you know, of Asian descent, then I'm going to present to them somebody they know, trust, like, and value. Now, it's not to say that they can't get it from me, right? But you have to overcome the conscious thoughts before it gets into the subconscious thoughts.
That's it. That's it.
So when we're dealing with people's money, people have an emotion about money. They have a psychology about money. And a lot of it is lack thereof, right? So you mentioned faith, mm-hmm. right? You say faith is something to hope for. If you ain't got no hope, mm-hmm. you have no faith. I've already talked about that before. And if you have no imagination,
right.
you ain't got no hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Old Testament, they wrote the commandments on stone. And then in the New Testament, it's Jesus writes on the heart, right? God writes it on the heart of man. So how if I'm getting information written on my heart, in order for me to actually do something to change my life, I have to believe or accept that information coming in, because it's coming from the same power that everyone else is getting information from. So you can't say, well, somebody's got it better than me. They were born on the right side of the tracks, or whatever the case may be, because we're all endowed with the same power. The problem mm-hmm. is you don't believe it because you've been conditioned if you're on one side of the track versus the other. I say move the track.
Right?
So if you're conditioned to think, hey, I'm just as valuable as someone else, I'm just as deserving of $1 million as someone else. My family can be protected with life insurance without me having to struggle. If you have those thoughts, and you mentioned meditating, right? The reason why they say do it at night and do it in the morning is because your mind is most open at those times. Your brain is actually shutting down and allowing your body to heal at night, so it's open. That's why a lot of people imagine things at night called dreams. So at night, if you're filling yourself with that information of meditating and you're picturing and imagining exactly what you want, and then you wake up in the morning and do the same thing, your subconscious mind has to bring it to pass because it cannot reject or accept the information. It just is. So the subconscious, you want your subconscious to go to work for you, right? So the way you do it is by meditating, and then prayer is like the plug. It connects you. So you tell you God, if you don't pray, you have no connection to the power. So prayer gets you connected. Your imagination or your meditation brings it about, because now your heart or your mind or your subconscious, whatever you want to call it, has to go to work for you. Man, I'm excited. Sorry.
Man, don't be sorry. This is it. This is PRF at its finest. If we could do this every week, good Lord, we have ratings bigger than Oprah.
All right. Absolutely.
Let me take a pause here, and I believe I'm going to be bringing on Bishop Kelly Zimmerman. It's amazing that while you were talking, Brother Nelson, there were so many people talking about the placebo, and he's in my area, and so I'm just glad that somebody said, you know what, let me get this out. So, Bishop, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Oh my goodness! Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. When your guest speaker was asking about the sugar pill, I was commenting placebo on that. That's what the terminology was.
Yes,
but as
placebo,
he was speaking,
right.
Yeah. But as he was speaking and talking about the subconscious mind, I said, "Now y'all talking about my field."
All right.
So,
All right.
I began to think about the portion of the brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala is like the DVD to your brain. It brings back, replays the memory into your brain. Say, for example, the first time you met your wives, the ooh-ah feeling that you might have had, the first time your children, if you have children, were born, whatever milestone or even negative experience that you had. Because just like the speakers are saying, we are creatures of habit. So sometimes it does take the repetition to continue on to foster certain behaviors because we are creatures of habit. And so, and God strategically designed us that way. And so one of the things that I thought about, and in my years of teaching, working with addiction patients, and counseling people over the years, is that one of the things that influenced their courses of action was when I counseled or taught or whatever routine that I would do in that repetition mode. So even if they had a negative experience, if I constantly kept feeding them and helping them through kind of showing them the positive direction, the positive benefit, and in this case of having life insurance, what is the positive outcome in education and teaching them how can they achieve this, then it stems more positive behavior. They, in the initial stage, begin to think about the negative experience. Oh, yeah, I remember paying $10,000 for that $200 policy. But now, when they get educated on the truth and get enlightened on that and see how it is better to do this versus that, and they get it step by step, and you continue, sometimes they may slip and slide or fall. And one of the things that Evangelist Moody was saying last week is by establishing a relationship, maintaining that relationship with the clientele, it's almost like that repetition continues to go on and go on, and that and they maintain that insurance. If they're having trouble, well, let's work this out. Let's work that out. And it replaces in that amygdala that negative memory with the positive memory. So that's what I wanted to share on that.
Oh, wow. That's one of the reasons why I love this show, because God just sets it up and orchestrates some things so well. You know, here's the beauty. I'm the guy that, you know, what I mentioned about the left and the right brain, you don't have to worry about me trying to go where Bishop Zimmerman just went. You don't have to worry about me trying to go where Brother Nelson went. I'm going to stay right there on the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. I'm going to stay right there in those pieces. The beauty of it is, God has orchestrated all these different pieces called individuals to be able to help people with the different issues of life. What we're talking about this month, y'all, with insurance or God's assurance, is just one piece of the pie. It's just one of those things that we have to deal with, because at the end of the day, nobody's trying to bury us for free. There are no nonprofit mortuaries. There are no, there are no nonprofit funeral homes that I know of. But I can tell you this, if you don't have your affairs in order, there are some places where they will bury individuals, and they're not going to be at the nice funeral home. It's not going to be at the nice graveyard. It's going to be in what we know as the pauper cemetery. And I say this to those who are listening that have yet tapped into the Spirit of God. Is this what you want your children to come to? No, I just don't believe that. So we got to do what we continue to do as far as trying to change the mindset. Remember, and I say this, when Vengeance Moody mentioned, when we talked about this thing of destroying the spirit of poverty last week, I just felt it was necessary that we just continue on with Brother Nelson, we continue on with Saeed, because if you grasp a hold to the things that is being said tonight, oh, I'm just going to believe that we'll be destroying the spirit of poverty. But it's going to come from you taking the necessary steps to do whatever needs to be done. And so let me come back to Brother Nelson. Thank you, Bishop Zimmerman. We appreciate you so much. Brother Nelson, let me ask you this, brother. Is there one specific area that if you could only talk about one thing, what would that area be? What is the number one area within your space, your insurance, financial services arena that is just that number one thing for you, that everybody needs to have this type? Is there anything like that for you?
Yes, absolutely. I would say it's kind of two things in one. Number one is protection. That's when we talk about life insurance, that's the number one thing that's not put in. Everybody wants to invest. I mean, that's the sexy part, right? Want to make a lot of money. Everybody wants to do that. But when we talk about, you know, life insurance, nobody wants to die, even though we're all headed that way, right? So
right.
Bishop was right on. She was on point. People want to see the benefit. There has to be a benefit. If there's no value or benefit, then, you know, you're wasting your time. But you may have to fight through some old thinking to get them to understand and see what the benefit is. But that's definitely an important component. So I would say protection, but protection's twin brother is a will. Most people don't have a will, and I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen people with assets and without assets, and everyone says, or everyone that thinks they don't have anything will say, well, I don't have anything, I don't need a will. That is so far from the truth, because a lot of your protection, a lot of your assets, even though life insurance doesn't necessarily fall, if you have a beneficiary, doesn't necessarily fall in this category, but there's a lot of stuff that ends up going to the state or ends up in probate, and you know, families fight, and oh man, it's just a mess. And it's because we don't put it in writing, you know, like your book. We read your book, man, on the way back from Columbus to Atlanta. We read the whole book. So, and you was point on, man, that it's so people are in such disarray, family-wise, when someone passes away, because the intentions. People say, well, you know, Papa told me this and Papa told me that and nothing's written down, and families are destroyed and separated because of that stuff. So just as important as having life insurance to leave your family with some leg to stand on, it's also giving instructions on what you want carried out when you're not here. That would be important stuff to me.
So listen, y'all heard it. And it's amazing that you mentioned about the wills, because again, this course that we teach at PRF, Will You or Will You Not, it covers not just wills, but it's dealing with the insurance. It deals with a couple of other things, some of the things I mentioned in the book, and directly or indirectly. And what's amazing is, you know this, Brother Nelson, we had several legacy conferences this past summer. Had one in Alabama, we had one in North Carolina, had one in Florida, supposed to have one in Maryland, that didn't happen. But it's amazing how the mindset of the people was the reason for the attendance that was there. I'm not talking about it was being low attendance, but I'm just talking about why there weren't more people there because of the mindset. But the beautiful thing was to witness the mindset and the transformation of those who were there, because from the first one we had one, the first one we had was all men. And I'm looking at some men as I'm standing up there, and Brother Mark was there, and Pastor Freeman was at his church. And several of them talked about what they did not have. By the time we got to the end of that 6 hours that afternoon, oh yeah, they knew that they had more than what they thought. So, but it only came through the process of helping individuals to navigate and understand and look at something from a different perspective in which they've been told. If you have not grown up where you've heard a good man leaves inheritance for your children, so let me just tell you, as your father, I want to be a good man. So, daughter, this is what I'm doing. I'm leaving an inheritance for you. If you don't hear stuff like that, then think about this. We can't just expect individuals to have that mindset just coming out of the air, because it has to come from somewhere. So I'm glad that you mentioned not just insurance, but wills. And I'll say this last thing before we go. There's an assessment. We do financial ministry needs assessments for every course that we teach and for some of the lessons that we teach as well. And one of the questions that we ask is, do you have life insurance? And we also ask, do you have a will? And then the other question is, do you believe that you need to have a will if you have life insurance? And 90% of the people, Brother Nelson, believe that as long as they got life insurance, they're good. See, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10a, or 10b, 10a, come to give life and give life more abundantly, right? I said this, I've been saying this lately. He came to give it more abundantly. So you're abundant as you have Christ, but until you understand the reason why he came is so that we're not going through some of all this crap that we're going through and be able to live an abundant life, more abundantly than just being saved. So this thing goes beyond just being saved for my Christian listeners. It goes way beyond just being saved. Because if it was all about just being saved, which is something that gets preached and teached and taught so many places, then why you go to work every day? If it was just about being saved, don't have insurance on your car. Don't have insurance on your house. Don't do any of those other things that are practical that lets you know that if you do your part, then God will cover you and do the rest of the part. So, Brother Nelson, listen, I'm glad and I'm so grateful that you had some time on your schedule tonight. And we're going to shut it down for the evening and get ready for next week. So, if you will, can you just let the listeners know how to connect with you if they would like to utilize your services, consultation, whatever it is, because we want to make sure that we give you that space before we go.
Absolutely. You can give me a call. My office number is 706-580-6342, or you can email me at nbaldwin, my first initial and last name, at T as in Tangle, C as in Charlie, WF as in Frank, G.com. I'm in the Alpharetta area, but I service all of Atlanta, south, north, east, and west. So, and of course, you know, I've gone to other places too. So I travel. I have clients in several different states. So we're not just, you know, confined to this area. But thank you for the opportunity, man, to speak and to share some a platform with you and some space. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, thank you. And so, listen, for those of y'all who don't know, I'll go ahead and let this one out the bag. So when we go around the country doing our legacy conferences, Brother Nelson was the first person that I called, and I said, listen, if we're in your area, wherever we do these conferences at, we want you to be there. And so we have a portion in our legacy conferences presentation or seminar, if you will, that he has the space. And the beauty of it is we offer that to others that are even on his team. And when we go to Philly, then we'll give that same opportunity to Sister Moody. This thing is about connections. There's a lot of people that do not care if you don't have insurance. The reason that a lot of people don't care that you have insurance or not, well, particularly that you don't have insurance, when I'm talking to those of y'all in the 57%, the reason they don't care is because they don't care about your legacy. The reason they don't care is because they don't care about you having wealth. The reason that they don't care is because they don't care that you stay in poverty. They don't care that your children or your children's children remain in poverty. And it's amazing how so many folks have the power over other individuals, but you got the power living inside of you as well. God created all of mankind in his image and after his likeness. So you already have a head start. So I'm just going to encourage you, connect with us, continue to connect with us, allow us to be that platform to connect you with other individuals, great people like Brother Nelson and Sister Vera Moody and the rest of the guests that are going to be on with us the rest of the month. Check out the archive shows at prfministry.org. Go on to our calendar for whatever day you see. You'll be able to see all of the shows there, and you'll be able to listen, or you can catch us on Facebook, PRF Institute, or facebook.com/PRF. Again, the website, prfministry.org. And we just want to tell you that we love you. God bless you. Thank you for a wonderful evening here at the PRF table. On behalf of myself and all of the other hosts, Sister Marianne Williams, Star Sherwood, Brother Mark, Sister Lakia, everybody, God bless y'all. We will see y'all next week. Peace.